Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Today's guest, as you know, is a gentleman by the name of Dion Jordan, who's a renowned speaker. He's a best-selling author. He's a consultant and a mentor. He's a successful entrepreneur. And for those of you who's first time listening in, as you know, my show, the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero, is meant to spotlight everyday hero entrepreneurs who are in the trenches facing down fear, uncertainty, and mediocrity through their business success. And so today we're going to talk to Dion Jordan. For those of you who are interested in calling in, and if you have some questions for Dion, the number again is area code 347-215-9277. Before I get Dion on the phone here, let me tell you a little bit about him. Dion is a native of Palm Springs, California, but he now lives in Portland, Oregon. He's regarded as one of the top 50 most powerful and engaging professional speakers on the speaking circuit today. He's also an author. He wrote a book called All It Takes is All That You've Got, and All That You've Got is All That It Takes. He formed his own company called Dion Jordan Enterprises, which is a full-service international empowerment firm dedicated to empowering individuals and organizations to reach their highest potential and improve their performance. Welcome to the call, Dion.
Thank you. I am excited to be here.
We're so glad to hear you today. And what I'll do first, Dion, I'll ask you to tell us a little bit about your background. I understand you've been speaking professionally for at least the last 10 years, probably longer than that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the professional speaking business?
Sure. You know, there's actually two paths that I took to get here. It was my educational path, and then was my life experience path.
Okay.
Let me give you a little background about my education. I came through teaching for probably around 6 years. I got a master's degree in education, and so it was an easy jump from education into motivational speaking. I'm also an ordained minister, so I did a lot of speaking in the church growing up. And so as a result, I think between speaking in churches, my education, and speaking in schools, and then also just my overall desire to help people reach their, you know, greatest performance, I think that really kind of opened the door for me to walk into motivational speaking. But then at the same time, I had some experiences growing up that played a big role.
Okay.
One thing that I was actually born with a speech impediment, and so I had a real bad stuttering problem. So I actually spent years in a speech therapy class, and I learned a lot. And one of the things I learned is how to get my message, you know, out of me and into people to a point where they could really understand what I was saying and how to really slow down and talk a little more clearly. So I think between those paths, it really kind of helped launch me into the motivational speaking arena.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit about your challenges as a stutterer, because I know that a lot of people have a fear, a deadly fear of public speaking. In fact, I've heard that it's worse than people fear it just as bad as they fear death. People
Yeah.
would rather die than stand up in front of somebody. So I can imagine that you being a stutterer, it created even that much more animosity. So tell me a little bit about how you overcame that challenge of stuttering to being such a well-spoken individual as you are today.
Thank you. Well, I think the thing that played the biggest role was definitely desire. You know, it's
okay.
One thing about having a stuttering problem is a lot of people who stutter, they stutter because of nervousness, but then at the same time, it's just really a matter of calming yourself down and, you know, and slowing down when you speak. One of the things that I realized that I had to overcome was my fear of being judged. And believe it or not, that's why it's such a big fear to be a public speaker or get up and speak in front of people is because people are afraid they're going to get judged. They're afraid they might mess up. They're afraid of that failure and all those eyes on them. But one thing that I realized conquers that fear, at least for me, is when you are so excited about that which you're about to share. If you're ever in class, and we all can relate to this, if you were ever in class and the teacher asked you a question and you weren't sure of the answer, you know, you were probably a little hesitant and fearful to shout out the answer because you weren't sure it was right. But
right,
when you knew that you knew that the answer was right, you would raise your hand up high and ready to shout it out before they even asked you. Why? Because you were so positive that what you had was the right answer. Well, that's what helped me overcome my stuttering problem, is I became so convinced about that which I wanted to share that it allowed me to overcome my fear and at the same time get that desire to learn how to slow down, speak well, and speak in a manner that really gets my message into other people.
Okay, so you know your message, you're excited about your message, you want to get your message out. So it didn't, you don't have to use any techniques like imagining your audience, in their skivvies. You don't have to do any techniques like that.
You know, that does not work. I've heard that time. People say, well, imagine that your audience doesn't have any clothes on. You know, that would totally throw me off. And a lot of people do, it throws them off as well. But one of the things that might help is you have to understand when you get up to speak in front of an audience, they want you to succeed. I have never heard of an audience that wanted that speaker to fail because they didn't want to be bored. They didn't want to be put to sleep. And so that's something else that I use is before I go out there, I understand that they're pulling for me. They're not out there to point fingers and wait for me to mess up. They want me to give them something exciting, something life-changing. And because I know that, that helps me calm down the nervousness and get a little more excited about sharing what I want to share.
Okay, so that's good. So, okay, there's a group that they wouldn't stand up in front of a group if it had to save their life. There's another group of people out there who have been considering it. They like to speak. Perhaps they have a message. Let's talk a little bit about those, talk to those people who are interested in starting a business as a professional speaker. First of all, how would you suggest that people go about finding their message? Because you said it's something very important to know what you're speaking about and to be excited about. What would you tell people to do in order to find that message?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the things that I always try to recommend to people is to really look at life experiences first. There's probably nothing you know more or nothing that you know better than that which you've already experienced. And a lot of people overcome a lot of different types of obstacles. I spoke about my speech impediment, but I was also born crippled. I didn't learn to walk until I was 5 years old. And so my first message when I first broke into the speaking business was about overcoming obstacles because that was something that I lived through and something that I really knew that I could talk about. See, that's another reason why people get nervous is you get out there speaking in front of an audience and you're afraid that audience might know more about your topic than you do. But one thing no one can do is take your story from you. So as long as you can share your own experience and help them to relate that to their experience, you're always going to be a relevant speaker.
That's an excellent point. So start from where you are and talk about things that you are very familiar with, your story and your experiences. So that's good. So what's the next step? If I've got a story, and by the way, that's pretty incredible that you were a stutterer as well as somebody who was crippled, as you say, had to get your legs taken care of. I think that's a testament to your fortitude that you overcame that. Far too many people are complaining and afraid, and they don't have any of those same challenges. So my hat's off to you for taking the bull by the horn, so to speak.
Thank you. So
I've got a message, and I want to get my message out. What's the next step? Would you have me do? I know. I'm a member of Toastmasters. Is that a good place to start, or where else would you suggest they start in terms of getting their message out?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, let me say that you're asking me a loaded question, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Question. I'm wondering what question I should answer, because I'm hearing two questions. If you're just wanting to know how to be a speaker, I can give you a lot of great advice. If you want to learn how to be a paid speaker, I need to give you different advice. There are a lot of people out there who got wonderful message, and they're speaking for free. But now, if you're hinting to me that you're interested in doing this for a living, then I need to give you a whole different batch of advice. So which one would you like?
I would like to share with my listeners the paid version. In fact, I mean, because anybody can talk, right? I mean, all I need is a soapbox and stand on the corner, so to speak. I want to know, I mean, since I'm talking to entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs, I want to know, how can I get paid, Dion? I want to know how can I get paid to do this?
There you go. Okay. So the first thing that I would recommend is you want to study your audience. You need to first find out who is it that I'm most comfortable speaking to. Who is it that my past experiences or my education would most be relevant to? Because when you become a paid speaker, it's not about what you want to give them. It's about what they're willing to pay for. And the problem with a lot of speakers who aren't getting paid out there is they think they have a wonderful message, and their message is probably centered around them, and they think it's great. And it might be interesting, but people aren't willing to pay for that. If you want to become a paid speaker, you need to first make sure you are giving your audience what they want. So what I would recommend is that I would recommend that you poll your audience. When I first got into the speaking business, I realized that my strongest audience was going to be high school and college students. And so I took time out to go back to the high schools, go back to the colleges, and not just talk to the students who I would be speaking to, but I would talk to the one who had the budget to pay for me to go in. So now, high schools, I would go and survey the vice principals, the principals, and the counselors, and I would go to the colleges and talk to the orientation coordinator. I talk to the student activities coordinator, because these are the people who are the gatekeepers of the money who actually hire speakers. And so one mistake that people make is they go out there and they try to show off their message to everyone. I don't do that. I show off my message to those who could pay for me to come in to speak, and then I let them bring in the audience.
That's excellent advice. So you're tailoring what you're saying to the audience and making sure that what you're bringing is something that they want to hear.
Exactly. A lot of people like to hear a great speaker. Very few people are willing to pay for a great speaker.
I understand. Now, you mentioned the college and university market. You mentioned high schools. I know there are people talking to corporations. What are some of the other, two questions. What are some of the other groups? And I'll ask the second question later. What are some of the other areas or groups of people where a would-be speaker, entrepreneur, would go to talk to? I know those three, high schools, colleges, and corporations. Are there other kind of niches that a speaker might look into?
Oh, yes. Just about every organization hires a speaker somewhere in their organization. It may not be at the local level. It might be, you know, at the national level, or it might be at their headquarters. But you could take a place like McDonald's, and of course you wouldn't walk into a McDonald's and start speaking. But that McDonald's, it has staff meetings. That McDonald's has corporate meetings. They have a headquarters where they get together and they talk about things like diversity and customer service and change. And so just about everywhere you have an opportunity to speak, and also to speak to make money. But what's key is that you find the right people that can get you in. Now, they do have people that are called meeting planners. These are the ones who plan the meetings, and they go ahead and they, you know, help decide who the speaker would be. But there's someone greater than the meeting planner. Their title is called the economic buyer. You see, the meeting planner has to go through the economic buyer in order to hire somebody. But if you could take time out in your networking and when you're meeting people to find out, you know, who the economic buyer is, then you have a better opportunity to speak in just about any industry there is. It's just a matter of you matching your topic with their need. That's what the whole speaking business is about. As long as you can take your topic, tailor it to their need, you'll always be in demand.
Okay, okay. Now, and you said something interesting that I'm going to get back to. But before I go there, you said something about always being in demand. But I want to ask a question. Could you give us some examples in the corporate market to various meeting planners, maybe the McDonald's meeting group, high schools, colleges, universities? Can you give us some ideas about the types of topics that one or more of those various groups might be looking to hear?
I sure can. When I got into the speaking business, one of the things that I did was I got a mentor. Now, you asked me one of the first moves you want to make is one of the first moves, definitely, you want to look at what you have to offer. You want to look at your audience. I should probably go two steps before that and tell you, get a mentor. You can save so much time and energy by getting a mentor. And what I did is I did two things. Not only did I get a great mentor, but I also put together an advisory board. And on my advisory board, I've got a college coordinator on there that helps me stay in, you know, tune with what the hot topics are in the colleges. I have high school principals on my advisory board that could run through ideas with me about what's hot in the high schools. I have a great marketer. I have the vice president of Nike, of Jordan Brand, who is on my advisory board that helps me stay up to date. And so what happens is, with this advisory board, once a quarter, I check in with them. I let them know exactly what Deion Jordan Enterprises is doing, and I hear back from them. I get feedback, so I always know, you know, where the trends are going, what the ideas are going, because they represent who my major audiences are. And so some of the topics that I realize that are transferable, that can speak to elementary school all the way up to CEOs, are topics such as leadership. Every corporation, you know, needs some help with leadership. Another one is just communication, knowing how to communicate, you know, through the genders and through diversity and through the different types of cultures. And so knowing how to get your message across is always a big one. You know, diversity is always huge. You know, things are changing all the time, new types of people coming into new organizations. So diversity is a big topic. And just those three topics alone are across the board. That's education, that's corporate, that's profit, that's nonprofit. They're all looking for help in those areas. But then Obama had a big one when he talked about change, and there's a lot of change going on. People need help on, you know, how to make that change and overcoming obstacles. All these topics, just motivation itself. Those six topics I just shared right there are six topics that every organization look for speakers each and every year.
That's great. That's great. And I think that gives somebody who's looking to get into the speaking business a good head start. And I agree with you that, you know, leadership, communication, diversity, change, motivation, those things are applicable to almost any market. And I agree with you that if somebody can tailor their message to those groups, they can certainly have something to talk about. Now, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You made the statement that if you do XYZ, that as a speaker, you will always be in demand. Now, Deion, I don't know if you realize, but we here in the U.S. anyway, I don't know about any other countries that might be listening in, but we are officially in a recession. So what do you mean that I would always be in demand? Are you saying that even in this type of economy, that I can do well financially as a professional speaker?
Yes. Dino, I invite everyone to look at my website and go to my calendar and look how full my calendar is.
Uh-huh.
Even in the midst of a recession, people are looking for process improvement. They're trying to find ways to make their business better, to make their organization better, and even improve themselves. And so you can definitely be in demand, but you have to be smart. So, for example, one of the places that I'm getting calls probably at least three or four a day right now is that college market. Let me tell you why the college market. because the economy is bad, a lot of people are going back to school.
Yeah.
And because they realize, hey, they need some more education to be able to compete with others in order to get, you know, the type of job they want. And also, a lot of people are realizing that this is an opportunity to, you know, kind of follow my passion and do those things that I want to do since I'm kind of in between jobs. Not to mention, college students, a lot of college students are in school because of scholarships, because of grants. So although the economy looks bad around, there are a lot of colleges that still have money because every college student has to pay what they call an activities fee. And those activity fee is what pays for speakers to come in and other entertaining acts to come into their schools. And so as a result, I'm getting a lot of calls right now because college is about to start back up. They need an orientation speaker. They need someone to come in and get these students ready for their next 4 years of college. And so it's really just a matter of when you give them what they want and what they need to succeed, you'll always be in demand. That's why I always tell my people who come through my seminar and those that I mentor is make sure that you take time to find out what is it that your audience wants, because they're still spending money. They're just being a little more wise about where their money goes. But if you could bring results, they'll bring you back.
Excellent, excellent. Those are good points. So it sounds to me that if you do it right and you give the people what they want, so to speak, and you strategically market, then you could, I mean, speaking business sounds like it could be a recession-proof type business.
If you do it right.
Okay.
If you do it right, you know, and there's a lot of little tricks to the trade, just little things that you could do that make a huge difference. We would probably need, you know, 3 or 4 days of conversation for me to go over them. But like anything else, it's a business. And I think I've shared with you enough for you to understand there's a difference between just speaking and really getting paid, being a professional speaker.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided to hold that that seminar that I hold, which is called Pro Bono No More, which teaches those people who are speaking for free how to get paid, because it really is something that helps out during a recession.
Good, good, good. And we'll get back to Pro Bono No More. I like that title. in fact, well, let's stay there. I like the title because I've talked to several people in the speaking industry, and I know I'll say the common wisdom that goes around with regard to people starting out in the speaking business is most people say that, well, Dino or Sally or John, if you want to start in the professional business of speaking, you've got to start for free, right? You kind of cut your teeth doing things for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the title of your seminar, Pro Bono No More. You know, what would you say to that? Because most people say, okay, in order to get started, the way to do it, you just got to do it. You have to do your time, so to speak, and the way to do that is to speak for free. So what do you have to say about that?
What I have to say about that is I can understand why they would say it. And for some people, I think it's a good idea. One of the things that I do teach is I teach you how to never do another free talk. That even if they can't pay you money, there's a compensation they could give you that sometimes is worth more than money.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, I don't want to sit up here and act like I don't ever do free talks anymore.
Right.
What I do now is I will do 2 pro bono talks a month, and that's it. And because the way I feel about it is I don't think it's fair that just because an organization or a group of young people, we say, for example, don't have the money to bring in a high-quality speaker, that they're not able to get some of the, you know, great stuff that I have to offer. So I offer 2 pro bonos a month. And the good thing about doing a pro bono talk, for those who feel like I need to start for free, it gives you a chance to practice your material. So you see, you want to practice your material on the free groups.
Right.
Because you want to practice on a paid group.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if it hasn't been, you know, tested or tried, and you go out there to a paying customer, and they're sitting back there thinking, we paid $3,000 for this nut to come out here and talk about this. It's horrible. You know, you don't want to do that.
Right.
So definitely don't toss away those free talks. Talk to me. Let me show you how to turn those free talks into money or something worth, you know, a lot more than money, and that could help you get more talks that will be paid.
Excellent. Excellent. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Now, let me ask you this. Shifting gears, I know what I'm talking about. I found the people that I want to speak to. I've got a few topics that I want to speak to. How would you recommend that I go about marketing and promoting myself as a professional speaker?
I'm glad you asked that. I am so glad that you asked that. And I'll tell you why. This is something that speakers need to understand. You know, a lot of times people are interested in going into the speaking business as a professional because they see all the glory. They see the person out on stage full of energy, living their dream, and saying to myself, that's what I want to do. But
right.
The truth of the matter is you're not just going into the speaking business. You're going into the marketing business.
Yeah.
Because you can be the best speaker in the world. But if nobody knows who you are, what good is it?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to know how to market yourself to get yourself out there. And so, and you know, the year is 2009, no doubt about it. You need a website. You need to give them something and a brochure. That is all I use. All I use is a website, a brochure, and word of mouth travels quite fast. I would say 90% of my talks I get are from referrals, people in my audience, and someone telling somebody else. But at the same time, your website's going to reach far more people than you ever can. I've got calls to come to speak in Bahamas and West Africa and Singapore strictly off of my website. But my advice to you on your website is this, and in marketing in general, remember that perception is reality. If you've got some, you know, cousin who's putting your website together because they're cheap and they're free, and, you know, half your pages say under construction, I'm telling you right now, a client might come once, see under construction, they might come twice. But if it's still under construction, they're not coming back anymore because
right.
that doesn't make professional. And when they're, you know, if you were free, no big deal. But when you're saying you're a professional speaker, as soon as you get paid, you're a professional speaker, you better have a professional-looking website, professional-looking brochure. Even though it might cost you more money up front to get that done, it is well worth it.
Excellent. Excellent. I think that's a good point about it not just being a speaking business, but also a marketing business, because that is a huge, huge, huge part of it. Now, I don't know if you do or not, and I'd like to tell my listeners that I have been to Dion's website, and he does seem to be pretty busy. His calendar seems to be very full, so you better get him now before he gets booked up, because he is a busy man. Let's talk a little bit about speakers bureaus. I know that bureaus are out there, and some are better than others. Tell me a little bit about what a speakers bureau is, and tell me some what your thoughts are on it, what your experiences have been with speakers bureau.
Sure. A speaker bureau is almost like an agency that promotes you as a speaker. And they
okay.
have different ones out there. You know, they have one called, you know, The Great Speakers, one called Speaker Match. There's a bunch of them out there. But one of the things you have to realize is they're a business too. And let's say they have a list of 50 speakers. So now it's their goal to promote these 50 speakers. So let me tell you the good and the bad about each. The downside of this is you're competing with other speakers, like probably around 50 other speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say Nike or Adidas calls me up. I'm running the speaking bureau. And they ask me for a speaker. And I'm thinking, oh, Nike, that's a great client. I know I'm going to get a commission for this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to look through my 50, but I'm going to find the absolute best out of my 50.
Right.
And so really, when it comes to competing, you're competing against other speakers. And if you look through some of them have people such as Zig Ziglar, you know, Tony Robbins, Les Brown. And so these are some pretty big names. So do understand that they market you, but they don't market you as much as you might think they do, because
mm-hmm.
they're in a business for themselves. And
right.
so that's one thing to kind of consider. I was with one for a while, and I'll be honest, I got a few calls, but I never got anything out of it. And I thought to myself, well, this isn't where I kind of want to be. The only good thing about it was when I first started out, which was about 10 years ago when I started doing this full time, I did realize that they put my name and my face right next to Tony Robbins and also Les Brown, along with four others.
Well, oh, that's pretty cool.
I thought to myself, well, man, I'm competing against these guys. But the other thing is, that's wonderful. My name is up there with two of the best motivational speakers of all time.
Right.
So automatically, my credibility and my professional image was made better. So I actually left my name up there just for that purpose. So just understand what you're getting into. Some of them have good deals. They'll allow you to do things like get your own web page or at least one page of a web page so you can do some marketing, which might be good if you don't have your own web page yet. But for the most part, it is competitive. And if you can do it on your own, that's so much more better. And that's what I try to do. I try to teach people to be more self-efficient, where you can do it on your own and you don't need a speaker, agent, or a bureau to market for you, that you'll be able to market by yourself.
Okay, okay. Now, you mentioned, I want to kind of stay with this idea that this is a business and it's not just something where you have to worry about preparing speeches. You have to think about it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to share a few ideas about, you know, what are some of the crucial things that you need in terms of your business overall? What sort of things would you recommend that a person have?
Well, like anyone else, and I'm sure you have a lot of great entrepreneurs that are on the line, is you really have to have a desire. You really have to kind of make up in your mind, what do you want out of this business? Are you looking to do this full-time, part-time, or just in your spare time? Because what you put in it is pretty much what you're going to get out of it. What's amazing now is I only spend about an hour and a half in the mornings. I get up at about 6 o'clock. I work till 7:30 on my business. The rest of that, I'm just hanging out, doing my own thing, playing ball, playing with my kids. Because I have a system that I put together and I share with others where you don't have to spend a whole lot of time doing marketing and getting your name out there. But one of the things you do have to realize is it does take money to make money. But it doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of money to get started. You have to really kind of know how to leverage yourself. I spoke earlier that it's so important that you need to be able to have your own website and your own brochure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you may not necessarily have the money to pay for that now, but you might have the talent to be able to exchange your talent with someone else to be able to get that good website and that good brochure. But with it being a business, you really have to remember one key concept. And here's the key concept. If you can remember this, this is great. And this is just not for the speaking business. This is for any business. Anytime, every business is in business for one purpose, and that's to make money. I like to say I'm in business for two reasons, to make a difference and to make a dollar. And so everything that I purchase, everything I do, I have to ask myself these three questions. The first question is, how much is it going to cost me? How much is it going to cost me in money, and how much is it going to cost me in time? The second question I ask myself is, how much can I get from it? You know, what would the reward be? How much could I make by doing this? You know, how much time could I make by doing this? And then last but not least, is it worth it? So real simple. If someone's going to decide, hey, you know what, I need to go ahead and put a brochure together, it's going to cost me about $150 for this brochure. Okay, you know it's going to cost you $150. How much could you make from this brochure? Well, if this brochure gets you one speaking engagement, and the average speaking engagement out there will say is $3,000, guess what? You spent $150, you made $3,000 by sitting off to one good client. So the final question, is it worth it? You darn Skippy, it's worth it. If
darn
you could do it with all your purchases, you won't waste money, and you'll realize that your business is going to be very profitable as time goes on.
Excellent, excellent. Those are all good things to recommend to other people. And this has been a great session. I've got another question, and this will kind of be the last question I ask before we talk a little bit about some of your seminars that you put on for people who want to get involved in the speaking business. I look at your calendar, and I see that it's full, and you seem like you do a fair amount of traveling. And you mentioned you've got, I think you've got a son, a daughter?
Yeah, I have two daughters.
Okay, you have two daughters. And I look at your schedule and I think about some of the other famous professional speakers who are out there. Seem like they're traveling quite a bit. So tell me a little bit about
You know, are you living out of a suitcase? You're in hotels all the time, airports, what? Tell me a little bit about how you deal with life on the road and how you bring that into your business and how that works out to be your life-work balance, as they call it.
You know, you are good. You are asking all the right questions. Because I'll tell you right now, there's probably nothing more important to me than my family.
Okay.
I would trade my speaking career and all the good things that come with it with time with my family. And so I think that's such an important question because people can lose balance. They can look at things and realize, man, you know, I'm slipping. I'm not as successful as I thought I was simply because my family is suffering. So I'm glad that you asked that. One of the things that I definitely do is, and I recommend everyone to do, is you really have to take control of your own schedule. You know, it's funny, when some people first go into business, and, you know, especially with speakers, any speaking engagement that's paid that comes their way, they take it. They don't even stop to consider anything. They just see money, and they say, you know what, I'm available, sure, I'm there. That's one thing I don't do. I will admit, when I first started, I did. You know, I was hungry, but I wasn't married at the time, and so I felt like I needed to get as much as I could. As I got more successful, I realized I needed to take a little bit more control. So this is how it works. And my speaking schedule, as busy as my speaking schedule looks, I make sure I am not out of town more than 10 days out of a month. What does that mean? That means I'm at home 20 days a month. And I shared with you earlier, I only work from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. So the rest of the day, I'm at my kid's school. I'm a regular volunteer over there. I'm taking my wife to lunch. I'm home, and I make sure I'm available. Because for me to be gone 10 days a month, I like to try to do what I call block bookings. That means I'll go somewhere and speak on a Friday, and then I'll speak in, you know, other places in that same city. So I try to maximize my time out. So I'm really only leaving home maybe 3 or 4 times, and I try to leave the day before I speak, and as soon as I'm done speaking, that's when I head back. But then at the same time, the beauty of it is I don't live out of a suitcase. I actually like staying in a hotel because I am somewhat of a loner.
Okay.
But I have so much travel miles that I travel for free. And I have a chance to bring my family in because when I go speak, they're paying for my travel. I get to keep the travel miles I get. And a lot of times when I go to cool cities, I always bring my family. I had a speaking engagement in the Bahamas. Of course, I took my wife. I was down in California last year. I took my kids so they could go to Disneyland. So I've incorporated them because something else, that a quick point I want to make is it would be easy for my wife to look at me and say, oh, that's wonderful. My husband's out there. He's living his dream. And I don't ever want her to feel left out of my dream. And so I try to include my family as much as possible. Anytime I have a chance to have them stand up in the audience, anytime I have a chance for them to travel with me, experience all these wonderful cities, I always bring it with them because I understand without them, I'm all by myself.
Excellent, excellent. I think it's a great thing, and I think that's a good segue into your seminars, because if you are speaking as much as you are, you've been in this business for 10-plus years, and you're as successful as you are, and you still have balance, and you don't feel like you're, you know, stretched to the brink. You have total control of your schedule. I think that's a wonderful thing. So tell us a little bit. I know you've got the seminar Pro Bono No More. I think I heard you mention one time that you were doing something on a cruise. Tell me more about the types of the actual seminars that you've got coming up.
Sure. Well, what I have coming up in September, this is September 12th and 13th, and I've been holding this probably for the past 6 or 7 years, and it's called Pro Bono No More. It's how to break into the speaking business. You know, there's a lot of young speakers out there who are interested, who have been speaking for a while, but they don't necessarily know how to get paid speaking. And so that's why I put the seminar together, and this is good advice for anybody who's out there. When you get to the point when somebody wants to pick your brain all the time about a topic, it's time to put a seminar together. And that's what was happening. I was getting a lot of calls from inspiring speakers asking, how do I get into the speaking business? So that's why I decided to put this 2-day seminar together. And in this 2-day seminar, I share everything that I know about the speaking business. I share everything from getting speaking engagements to getting rebooked. I share with you different people that you could call and actually get those speaking engagements, contracts, marketing, publishing, you know, the paperwork, you know, because it being a business, you need to understand, you know, how contracts work. We actually give you copies of those things. So everything I have, I share. Even my web designers are there. And the people who help co-write my books and the people that help put my brochures together, they're all involved and there during this two-day workshop to help you get off the ground and get running.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And this is going to be held in Portland?
This is going to be held in the beautiful city of Portland, Oregon,
okay.
September 12th and 13th.
Wonderful, wonderful. And they, folk who are interested in doing that would just go to your website, DeonJordan.com, or is there another website they would go to?
Nope, that's it. If they go to www.DeonJordan.com, or even if they're on this call today and they think, you know what, I mean, I would love to come to this seminar. If you email me, and my email address is getmotivated@DeonJordan.com, and I'll leave this open for 24 hours. I will make sure that they get in at a discounted rate.
But okay.
That's only
okay.
For those that have been on the Dino Herbert show, though.
Okay. That's great. Good. And so, well, I know this is going to be recorded as well. That's just in the next 24 hours, folks. If you call in or send email to Dion, you can get a discounted rate on his speaking seminar, Pro Bono No More. This has been, I know that you've got another meeting that you have to go to, Dion, and I really want to just thank you for taking time out of your schedule to speak with us. The last 45 minutes or so has been very well worth it. You've given us a lot of information, and I just want to thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing for the community, for the young entrepreneurs out there who are, you know, trying to live out their dream.
Not a problem at all. So, again, for those of you who want to get in touch with Dion, again, go to www.DeonJordan.com. This has been the Dino Herbert Show. Everyday Hero, I thank you again for being with us this afternoon, and come back next week when we will be interviewing another everyday hero who is getting things done in the entrepreneurial world. And remember, I am passionate about people who are pursuing their entrepreneurial potential.